Again, I apologize. I will be sniffling, so I'm sorry for that. My name is Mindy Bartlett Strong, and the only reason that I'm here talking to you about forgiveness is because I've just had some experience. Not unlike yourselves, I'm sure. I'm not coming from a place of pretending as though I know anything more than you. But I do have a story to tell, and I hope that you can hear it. One day in the middle of summer when I was 5, my dad called up to my sister and me from downstairs and told us to pick up the upstairs phone. It was my mom calling. It was back when we had house phones. Remember those? It had been a couple of weeks since we had seen or talked to our mom. We had been told she left in the night because she needed to go take care of my great-grandmother. I eagerly picked up the phone, so excited to hear from her. Her tone was somber as she told us my dad and she had lied to us. She was actually not with my Nana. Nana was fine. My mom, however, was not. She was an alcoholic, she said, and she was in something called a treatment center. That weekend, we went to visit her. That weekend, we attended family meeting after meeting. We were taught about the disease my mom had. We were told it was our responsibility to be part of her recovery. It was a family disease, and we needed to face it together. Now, to say that my childhood ended that weekend would be an exaggeration, but that moment was the moment I began to live my life as the child of an alcoholic. One of the most daunting tasks of all was keeping it a secret. We were taught all about anonymity and our role in maintaining my mom's. Over the years, Mom would continue a pattern of behavior that became as predictable as the cycles of the moon. She would return home from treatment sober and extremely eager to jump into recovery. However, within a short period of time, she would relapse. The uncovering of the relapse was the most painful part. Once we would notice her altered behavior, we'd confront her. I'd often play a game I called detective, in which I would scour the house in search of the pill bottle. I made it into a game. She had switched to abusing prescription pills, opioids mostly, so that we couldn't smell it on her anymore. I became quite good at the game detective. Once we had sufficient evidence, we would officially confront her, and she'd deny it all. Eventually, however, the evidence would be so overwhelming that she would fall apart and tearfully admit, yet again, she had fallen. There would then be a huge blow-up fight, argument with yelling, screaming, crying, and then we would help her pack a suitcase and we would load up into the minivan to drive her back to a nearby treatment center, hoping this one would do the trick. While she was doing time in the center, we were given a story to tell friends and family and teachers and nosy neighbors so we could keep the secret. We had to somehow explain her sudden and then prolonged absence. We were taught to lie to protect her anonymity. While in treatment, she would work diligently through the 12 steps of AA. Steps 5 and 9 would require her to admit and make amends. Those are the steps I remember the clearest. When I was very young, she would make amends by calling me and professing her sincerest apologies, her desires to make it up to me, and her reassurance that this was the last time. The cycle continued from when I was 5 and the day of that phone call until well into my 20s. I counted once. She was in 15 treatment centers. As I got older and I went away to college, she began writing me letters to make her amends. I was in Gainesville and she was in Tampa. One such excerpt is here that I wanted to share with you. I will read it aloud, starting with the second word. This is her handwriting and a letter that I have kept. I want you to be proud of me. That means so much to me. I pray all the time for us. I want us to get closer, like we used to be. It will happen. I know it will. I'm staying clean and sober and working so hard on getting better. God bless you. I wish you the very best of everything. All my love always, Mom. I now have that tattooed on my arm, all my love always, Mom. My mom wanted so badly to be sober, to be a mom, to be happy. All of her relapses, they presented me with repeated opportunities to either gather more stones of resentment, and I had plenty of opportunities, or practice forgiveness and self-love. Well, I can tell you there were many, many times I chose to carry those stones with me everywhere I went. One day, an incredibly amazing thing happened. I was 25 years old, and I was living in Gainesville, Florida. Go Gators, 38-0 yesterday. That in there. I was an active member of the UU Church in Gainesville, and I was part of a covenant group. I was sitting in that circle, and Trett's words explained perfectly exactly what I was feeling. I am sitting in this circle with my humble guide, surrounded by the ones I love, protected on all sides, and I was barely breathing. Breathing in and breathing out, and I was centered on that moment. And in that moment, the person in charge of the covenant circle chose the topic, the journey of life. For some reason, an image popped into my mind of me physically carrying my mom. I pictured her slung over my shoulders haphazardly in something like a fireman's carry. I could see myself walking on my journey of life. I realized in that moment I had spent my entire life until this moment carrying her, trying to keep her sober, trying to give her enough reason to get sober and stay sober, and ultimately, I had been trying to keep her alive. I was also carrying a lot of resentment. All of those things were keeping me from really experiencing my journey of life. I had tried it all, from begging her to stay sober for me, to refusing to talk to her when she was under the influence. And I even cut off communication for weeks at a time. When I was 19, I spoke to her on the phone one day, called just to check in. I would do that every once in a while, just to hear her voice. And she was slurring her words badly as she told me she was getting ready to go to her job as a nurse in the emergency room. I decided to call and report her. I got her nursing license revoked. I knew in that moment I had a responsibility to her patients and a small hope that maybe I could help create her bottom. I will tell you that she actually did get her nursing license back. She went through a program and did get her nursing license back. But in that moment, sitting in that covenant circle, a voice in my head said something so clear. I have to put her down. I had to both stop trying to save her, and I had to let go of all of the horrible things she had said and done to me. I also had to let go of any expectations of what our future relationship might look like. That was big. All of it. It had all become too much. And it was keeping me from living my best life. That is what forgiveness is really all about. Letting go. I spoke this aloud to the group with tears streaming down my face, and that group breathed with me. They held me. And I felt the weight of her lift from my shoulders. I truly put her down that day, and I forgave myself for allowing myself to let go of the responsibility of keeping her alive. 2 weeks later, my mom died of a drug overdose alone in her condo. She was found 24 hours later by a neighbor. I tell you this story because I believe I was given an insight that has allowed me to understand and practice forgiveness in even the most challenging circumstances in my life. Forgiveness is an act of self-love. Forgiveness is deciding to let go of the emotional stones we carry in the form of memories, grudges, negative feelings, and unhealthy habitual thought patterns that keep us from engaging in our life to the fullest. We all have them. Forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with the person who has hurt us. That's big. It's not as though you're given a choice to release another from responsibility. They were never responsible in the first place. It is a choice of releasing ourselves from carrying the pain. It's making the decision that having those previous injuries with us only serve to hinder our future experiences in this brief life. Each of us right now is wearing an invisible backpack. And those backpacks are filled with all of the hurt we have been unable to let go of. When others hurt us, and when we hurt others, and we haven't been able to let it go. We bring those backpacks into our everyday lives. Every conversation is colored by those experiences. From casual conversations to brief encounters with new humans, every ongoing and future relationship we have. While forgiving my mom after each relapse was challenging, the hardest part of all was forgiving myself for all of those mean things I had said to her. And ultimately, for not being able to save her life. Those stones were the heaviest of all. But I have come to realize that self-forgiveness and forgiving others are no different. They're the same stones we carry around in the same backpack, having the same effect on our lives. My mom's hatred for herself, her inability to forgive herself, eventually led to her being unable to even move. We are only as present and loving and kind to others as we are to ourselves. So I have some big questions for you. What stones are you carrying around? We all are. What events from your past are still negatively impacting your life? What would your life look like if you could put them down? What would your future look like if you were able to lighten the load and not bring those into every conversation you have with another? How could that possibly change your future? And who are you still holding responsible for the fact that you are choosing to carry those with you? My mom used to call those replaying old tapes. Remember tapes? They were when we had house phones. So what are we going to do about these? What are you going to do about yours? I can't unpack your backpack for you, and you can't unpack mine. But we have a pretty amazing community, and I can tell you what helps me. Telling others my stories helps me chip away at those stones. It's a process. It has taken me years to whittle away at some of those boulders I blamed my mom for. But as I retell painful events to trusted friends and large groups of people, I feel it lighten my load. Now, I'm not saying it helps to speak badly about another. That is not what I am saying at all. Remember, your stones are not about the other person. I mean to simply tell of the pain and my need to let go and acknowledging what is keeping me hostage. I find it especially difficult to share some of the big mistakes I've made. I don't mean it's hard for me to admit when I mess up. My mom showed me how to do that very well. It's the shame I've held on to that's really hard to talk about. But I'm learning that the more difficult the story is to tell, the more it needs to be told. And when I do make a mistake and I hurt another human, I own it. I apologize. If I can make it better, I do. I learn from it, and I let it go. If the other person chooses to hold on to that and to continue to carry that, that's on them. But you know what I learned most from my mom? Just as forgiveness is not about the other person, usually the painful things that people say and do to us, those really aren't about us in the first place. As I said, we all bring our past into every single interaction we have. And in general, most of the time when people are unkind to me, it has nothing to do with me. They are responding or reacting because of what they have brought into our interaction. Are they having a bad day? Did they get some bad news? Or did something about me trigger them? I used to make all of those little slights about me. Now, instead of assuming it is because of me, I assume it's not, unless you tell me otherwise. And another thing I found is that often the most ornery individuals are the ones that actually need our love and understanding the most. They're often the ones with the most pain, with the heaviest backpacks. And they've been conditioned and spent so much time reacting to the world the way they do that they really don't even know there's another way. So during the past few years, I've started focusing on doing something else as well. Not picking those stones up in the first place. Kind of like they have poison ivy on them, and I know it. In the past, I would just readily pick it up and shove it in my backpack and think it was meant for me. But now, I pause and I consider, is this really something for me? Is this something I want to carry? Will it serve me well? Now, I still have some pretty weighty stones that I need to chip away at. But this awareness has allowed me to acknowledge them, to see them for what they are, and to begin the process of whittling them down with people I love and trust. And I encourage you to do the same.